The NFL draft is rapidly approaching. Is it really a week away? It starts a week from tonight. Is that correct? Why do I feel like it's 2 weeks away?
No, 25th.
That's early, right?
If you could believe that, it's 7 days away. We at this time we might know the Steelers pick
by 10 o'clock
next week.
Yeah. Is it a week earlier this year? I feel like it's always like the end of April, or like it's like the last day of April, first couple days of May.
I mean, this would be the last Thursday of April next week, 25th.
Wow. I guess you're right. Well, that's neither here nor there. The Steelers are going to make a pick, we assume, at 20th. It's interesting to me how, you know, I think the last couple of years, we've kind of had it down to an idea on where they might go. Like last year, tackles seemed to, by this point, sort of emerge, right? Broderick Jones, or, you know, if there was another top tackle there, that would be, they really needed a tackle. Year before that, quarterback, we knew they were really, really interested there. And they ended up taking Kenny Pickett. That worked out well. The Najee Harris draft year, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that they were drafting Najee Harris before the draft. I mean, every team knew it, that they were going to draft Najee Harris. This year is, I think, a little different in that, and I don't know if this is maybe intentionally being done by Omar Khan, where he's keeping it closer to the vest maybe than Kevin Colbert did, or I don't know. I don't know if this is a new take on how they approach draft, but this thing feels open. You know, every time I look at a mock draft, it's not just a different player, it's a different position. I've seen corner, I've seen tackle, I've seen center, I've seen wide receiver. I think I've even seen defensive line in there. I mean, which there's not a ton of those, I think, you know, around where they're going to pick, but it just seems like they will go best player available given their needs at the moment. I know there's been some talk about them moving up, moving back. I don't think that they're going to do either of those things. You know, they moved up for Broderick Jones. I just don't think they're going to do that again. NFL mock draft, NFL.com mock draft out today, written by Dan Parr. No offense, I have no clue who that is. But he said that he has them taking Graham Barton. Do we know Graham Barton?
Center from Duke.
If there is the least sexiest pick possible out there, it's Graham Barton from Duke. The center from Duke has to be the least sexiest pick that you can make in the NFL draft. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. It's just not super inspiring. But that's the thing with this draft is that they have put themselves in a position where they so desperately need a center now. And if they don't draft one, and even if they do, they need help at that position. You know, I'm guessing if you draft a center in the first round, he's probably going to play right away, but it's not a foregone conclusion. You moved up to draft a tackle last year. He didn't play right away, if you recall. It took Broderick Jones a minute to get into the starting lineup. And I would go as far to say that Broderick Jones was a better tackle prospect than probably any center they will get in this draft. Might be close. You know, the Jackson Powers Johnson kid, maybe he's a play. I just look at this draft as so wide open for them that it's really sort of hard to get a feel on where they might go. And honestly, it's kind of exciting because there's a ton of variables that could come into play here. I think it also lends them to a spot where they don't have to trade up or they don't have to trade back. They can sit there with their board and say, hey, look, whatever guy at the positions of need, whether that's tackle, whether that's center, whether that's corner, you know, whatever, if that guy's there, we got our guy. If that position is there, we got it filled. I don't love drafting a center, though. I don't. I just feel like I feel like they are the running back of the offensive line when it comes to positional value. You can find them. Not that they're necessarily a dime a dozen. Not that they're not impactful in the game, but they're not a tackle. I don't think anymore they're as valuable as a receiver. I think having a really, really good receiver is better than having a really, really good center. That's why if they go receiver, man, I don't see that happening. But they've positioned themselves just like the center position. They have positioned themselves to really needing a wide receiver right now. They need another receiver. And I don't know if that's going to come in the first round. Probably not. But they do need to get another receiver into this group. George Pickens is super, super talented. I don't know if George Pickens is your every down number one wide receiver right now. I don't know if he is at that point yet. He's going to get a chance no matter who they draft to be that guy, which is exciting. But the other receivers that they have, like they brought in Quez Watkins. They brought in Van Jefferson. They have Calvin Austin the third. To me, that's not a complete enough receiving group to go out and be successful in today's NFL. You're going to have to match points with, you know, Joe Burrow, with Lamar Jackson, with Deshaun Watson in your AFC North games alone. And that's not even considering what you have, you know, outside of the division. And there's going to be some teams there. You look at who they play at home this year. They play the Cowboys. You know, I know that the Cowboys have not exactly had an inspiring offseason, but that's a team that can go score some points. CeeDee Lamb's good. Dak Prescott can throw the football down the field. They can score points. By the way, you're going to have to play those Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they can score points. They got the Mahomes guy. They can score. You got to play the Chargers. Herbert can score, can throw it, can put up yards. Got to play the Giants. And you got to play the Jets. And let's say Aaron Rodgers comes back and he's healthy and he's good. They might put up some points this year. That's your home games right there. Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, Jets, Rodgers, Herbert, Prescott, Mahomes. On top of Burrow, Watson, Lamar Jackson. And then whoever plays quarterback for the Giants. Doesn't really matter. Daniel Jones. I don't know. Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback there. Are they going to draft a guy? What do we think?
It's going to be close because there have been a lot of...
How is Daniel Jones a starting quarterback in the NFL?
It's so weird. And he's coming off that significant knee injury,
right,
too.
Right.
His contract is what? 4 years for $160 million?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Brutal.
40 a year?
Brutal. Their road games this year, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland. They got to play the Falcons. Kirk Cousins now, that's a different scenario. They got to play the Broncos. They're probably going to draft a guy, right? Well, maybe not. I don't know. What are they going to do with quarterback, the Broncos? Who's on the depth chart there? They're going to draft a guy, right? Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci are their quarterbacks right now. I legitimately had no clue who their quarterbacks were. And that's because they're Jarrett Stidham and shout out Pine Richland, Ben DiNucci. Listen, I like Ben. Good kid. Good program he comes from. If Ben DiNucci is your backup quarterback, unless Patrick Mahomes is your starter, it's not a great quarterback room. Jarrett Stidham is your starter. Whew, they're going to draft a guy for sure. My guess is they were hoping to be involved in the quarterback carousel in some way. Of course, they had the Wilson thing fall out, and they got to pay him now a lot of money, so they're looking to go cheaper, maybe a quarterback as well. They got to play the Colts on the road. That could be a team that scores some points. And they got a really, really dynamic quarterback there now. Coming off an injury, but a really dynamic quarterback. They got to play the Raiders on the road. They got to play the Eagles on the road. I know the Eagles struggled last year. They could score points. The Commanders are probably going to draft a quarterback, maybe Jaden Daniels. The home games, though, woof. I mean, that's a who's who of current great quarterbacks, right? Mahomes, Herbert, Rodgers, Burrow, Jackson, Watson. Good luck with that, man. I mean, if the Steelers go 4-4 at home against that schedule, given what they have right now, I think that's a solid mark at home. They're going to have to make their hay on the road this year. They're going to have to be really, really good on the road. And I think there's a chance to, because I still don't think Atlanta's going to be a great team. Denver's going to stink. The Colts, we'll see what happens with the Richardson injury. The Raiders are going to stink. The Commanders, they'll still stink. You have probably 6 really winnable games for you on the road. At home, 2 really winnable games? So, this circles back to they need to score points. And whether it's Russell Wilson or whether it's Justin Fields, they need weapons. They need help around whoever it is going to be. And they need to draft a receiver early. I don't think it's going to be in the first round, but I wouldn't hate it if it was. I said last year I felt like they needed to draft a receiver early. I wouldn't have had a problem if they would have gone and got a really good receiver early on last year. Now, look, they got Broderick Jones. I guess we'll wait and see. I thought he was going to be a left tackle. Now he's a right tackle. We'll wait and see on what happens with Broderick Jones. I would assume he's going to go back to left and be a pretty good player. But they really have to get more dynamic down the field. And if they don't, I'm worried that we're going to see a team that falls back even more so potentially into what they have been the last couple of years as a, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust sort of run the ball, power, not scoring a lot of points kind of outfit. Couple of key moves for Omar Khan. And look, maybe that's Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. I'm not super in love with the idea of Ayuk, to be honest. I think he's a really talented receiver. I don't know that he's necessarily it's going to translate to the Steelers offense what he did in San Francisco. I think talent, yes. System helps. What's around you helps. Decision-making from the quarterback helps. And maybe the Steelers are better in that regard with Arthur Smith and either Fields or Russell Wilson. But, yeah, it's just I don't think you can have enough weapons. And I think we saw that last year. I felt really good about what Kenny Pickett had around him. Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Harris, Warren, Deontay, Calvin Austin, George Pickens. It seemed like it was going to be a really dynamic group, and it wasn't. Because you just can't have enough good weapons in the NFL anymore. And that's what the Steelers need to figure out here most of all in this draft. All right, we'll have some final thoughts. If you do want to hop in the last few minutes of the show, you can 412-928-9370. But some final thoughts when we come back. I'm Josh Roundtree, Fan Evening Show. Joel, you've been known to place a bet or two, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of the Jontay Porter situation?
That's some crazy stuff, you know, and that he disclosed information to someone else. What, it was like an $80,000 parlay with a bunch of his unders or stuff like that, and the payout was over $1 million.
It's such an idiot move. It's just unbelievable.
You know, and he makes more money probably playing in the game than placing a parlay on a bunch of his unders, or, you know, giving out that information to someone else and all that.
What's the Jontay Porter contract that he is now losing? How much is he making? 1 year, $2 million? Is that what I'm seeing?
It's probably something like that. So
not making a ton of money, but enough. I mean, for me, it would be a ton of money.
Absolutely.
For you, it would be a ton of money. For an NBA player, not exactly a ton of money, but he's made some cash before. His career earnings are sitting at, right now they say career earnings of like $3 million, something like that. $2.3 million. That's not very much. But he's sacrificing, I guess, all that he has now. I saw a great tweet. It was like, you know, this Jontay Porter lifetime ban is brought to you by FanDuel. Play.
That was, or like whenever they would use that for Calvin Ridley or something. Those were pretty clever.
Here's my question with this. First of all, look, I have no problem with the lifetime ban. I have no problem with Pete Rose's lifetime ban. He broke the rules. The rules were crystal clear. You cannot bet on the sport. This idiot went to the point where he was betting on his team to lose. So he was essentially willingly throwing games. See ya. Goodbye. Lifetime ban, no problem with that at all. What I want to know is, if they had found out that Giannis Antetokounmpo was doing this, Steph Curry was doing this, Luka Doncic was doing this, Victor Wembanyama was doing this, LeBron, I don't think LeBron needs to gamble, but let's say they found out one of these guys was doing this. You think they're getting a lifetime ban right now? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
It's too valuable for the sport to lose one of their star players.
How many situations do you think have occurred like this in the past among star players that we don't even know about?
It's probably more than we think.
It absolutely is more than we think. You know, there was, you know, the big rumor with Michael Jordan, right? That Jordan went to play baseball. He retired and went to go play baseball. This is an old, old rumor, and it's never been proven in any way, shape, or form. But there was an old rumor that Jordan got in deep gambling on NBA games, and the NBA found out, and they didn't want to ban a star player for life like this, so they said, we got to do something to you, but we're going to keep it behind closed doors. You got to go do something else for a year. You got to step away for family reasons. You got to go pursue something else. And then that's kind of the conspiracy theory, if you will. And believe me, we have way too many conspiracy theories in this world right now. But that's sort of the conspiracy theory on why Jordan went and tried to play baseball. Probably not true. But Jordan is a gambler. That's pretty well documented. The guy, especially on the golf course, the guy gets after it gambling-wise. I just wonder if this happens to a notable player, not Jontay Porter, who, by the way, his brother is Michael Porter Jr. That there should be some suspicions raised among that guy, deserve it or not, right? I mean, there should be. I just wonder if the same thing is happening if it's a big-time player that gets busted. If we even know that they've been busted.
it's almost like, you know, what if Shohei Ohtani actually did place bets?
Yeah.
In baseball.
Biggest mistake Jonte Porter made, not getting an interpreter.
I like that.
That's how we're going to end the show tonight. I want to say to Charlie Borges, I'm coming after you for that note gimmick earlier. Thanks to Greg Finley for stopping by. Thanks to Joel Nelson, as always. Great work behind the glass, Joelie. I'll talk to you, I don't know, I'm back on in like 10 days. The 28th, I think, is my next time on. I got a little time away here, and then I'm back on 28th. So I'll talk to you then. It's been fun. See you out there. Josh Rountree, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.